Well, hi, everyone. Have you ever suffered or had bad things happen to you and wonder why? Well, today we're reading Job. Specifically, we're reading Job chapters 1 through 3, verse 10, but you are certainly welcome for a lot of extra credit to read the whole book of Job. But it asks a question that I think most of us at some point in our life have probably asked, like, why me? Why are bad things happening? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the innocent suffer? Where is God in the midst of my suffering? All of these questions are asked in the book of Job, and they're not necessarily directly answered. To set up the story, and the part that we're reading is really just the first three chapters, and so we just kind of get the setup of what happens. Some of us might have heard expressions about the book of Job. It is another kind of, at least the idea is well known throughout kind of a lot of culture and throughout different places, you know, the patience of Job, the suffering of Job, those kinds of things. People know that the story of Job is about a guy suffering and wondering why. And that's a pretty accurate way to understand the book of Job. But it starts off with the scene. Job is living his life. He's doing well. Things are going well. He's got a great big family. And that's wonderful. And then we kind of skip ahead to kind of this scene in heaven where God and Satan, or I should say the Satan, Satan is not necessarily a formal name here. It's just one for kind of the adversary is the direct translation of what Satan is. The one who is, there's God, and then there's the one who's against God, good and evil, things like that. But the two of them are hanging out in heaven, and the Satan makes the argument that the only reason Job is a righteous man is because he has no suffering and nothing's going wrong with him. And God says, no, I think Job is a righteous man. He's a good guy. And the Satan says, you want to bet? And God says, sure. And then sets this up, this kind of situation set up where the Satan then gets to go and test Job and take away all of his things. His family dies, he loses all of his crops and his finances and everything, and even his physical health is lost, and to see if Job will remain true and faithful to God. Now, most scholars believe that this story is not a story that is meant to be read as like a literal story that happened, but rather kind of more like a parable. Like Jesus' stories, like the Good Samaritan or the lost sheep or any of those kinds of stories. They're stories that help teach a deeper meaning and help us wrestle with and answer questions that we might have. And so Job is asking this question about the meaning of suffering and what does it mean. If you read throughout the rest of Job, you'll see that three friends come along, and that is actually the bulk of the book, are Job's three friends who try to convince Job that he's sinned, or he's messed up and he should ask for forgiveness, or that you know, clearly something's going on and it's Job's fault that all of these things are happening. And the three friends are really kind of interesting characters in here, because they're set up to be ones they're his friends and they're trying to care for him, but they come along and say things that are not helpful. And it's kind of a truism for today. I mean, for those who are suffering or in the pits of some kind of really devastating divorce or health issue or a loved one who is really sick, when someone comes up to them and says, you know, God has a plan, well, you know, it's fair to respond with, what is God's plan for a child who's suffering with terminal cancer? Like, that is not a good answer. Job's friends in here kind of relay some of those sayings that might work in some situations, but like in the midst of suffering, are not helpful. And so we have this kind of divine story, you could say. And at the very end, Job and God talk. And Job talks directly to God, which is worth noting. None of his friends talk directly to God. Only Job gets to talk directly to God. And even God doesn't directly answer Job's questions, but kind of shows this a kind of cosmic picture of creation and how big the world is, and that God, you know, ultimately is good, and that you know, even it, whatever goes on now, that things can be better. And so in the end, Job does remain faithful, and in the end, For a consolation prize, if we're practically speaking, Job does get his crops back and his herds back, and he gets new kids, not his original kids, which is a whole other thing. But so that is the book of Job. It's kind of this cosmic tale of good and bad. It's a cosmic tale that's kind of as old as the Bible and as old as time, and yet as new as the current Facebook posts that you can see today of people suffering. It wrestles with the unanswerable questions of why do people suffer? And so Job is a great meditation for us to kind of reflect on undeserved suffering and where is God in the midst of all of it. So today I invite you, read chapters 1 through 3, verse 10, and see this story. And if you are suffering in any way or know of someone who is, you can use this as an opportunity to reflect on that suffering or to reach out in helpful ways to those who might be in need today. So, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.